From Wondery, I'm Brooke Siffrin.
And I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And this is Even the Rich. Over the last four episodes, we've watched the Kardashians go from a big family in Calabasas to a modern-era dynasty full of reality TV stars, models, and entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I seriously had no idea how much effort went into making the Kardashians the Kardashians.
Seriously. I mean, from the outside, it kind of felt like they just appeared one day on E!, gave us a few memes, and then just never left.
I feel like the thing with the Kardashians is it feels like we've been living their lives with them for the past 14 years. Yeah. I mean, we saw the ugly stuff, the catty stuff, the triumphant stuff. And no matter how famous they got, it felt like we could still see some of ourselves and our families in them.
Yeah. And whenever their lives changed or someone new entered or left the family, it meant a lot to us, too. Which is why when Kim filed for divorce from Kanye last month, we had a lot of questions.
And feelings. I was a fan of Kimye.
So today we're talking to Zan Romanoff, a writer who's made it her job to keep up with the Kardashians, often for BuzzFeed. And over the past 4 years, she's asked all the important questions, like, who's the most relatable Kardashian?
Khloe, obviously.
And why do we love to hate Kris, the OG momager?
On today's interview, Zan's going to bring us up to speed on everything Kim and Kanye. And then we're turning to the future. After the show's final season airs this year, could we be facing Kardashian withdrawals?
I mean, I refuse to accept a future without the Kardashians, so.
There's only one way to find out. Let's go to the expert. Zan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
So for anyone who's been paying attention to the Kardashians, even a little bit, the news of their divorce was not exactly a surprise. And Zan, you follow the Kardashians really closely. When was it that you realized something big was going on in their marriage?
Yeah. So, you know, I think there have been Kim and Kanye divorce rumors about as long as there have been Kim and Kanye, because media feeds on drama.
Yes.
But, you know, they presented a pretty united front through a substantial number of difficulties, sort of one way and the other. So this summer, when Kanye was running for president and doing events where he was talking about the circumstances around their daughter North's conception and birth and saying that Kim thought about maybe having an abortion, that felt different to me, right? Kanye has made pretty inflammatory comments, you know, around race and around all kinds of things, his, you know, sort of weird alliance with Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I think the family was sort of able to brush some of that off. But at this point, it started getting personal, right? It started coming into the realm of stuff that they actually protect pretty fiercely, which is a certain level of their privacy. And so I think that, for me, was a big warning sign. And particularly, at some point after that happened, Kim put out a statement on Instagram saying, you know, Kanye is ill and we kind of can't help him at this point. And that felt to me like a huge turning point. Like, the family really doesn't talk about things unless they want to talk about them and unless I think they can figure out sort of a flattering angle to them. This was a pretty unflattering story that she kind of had no choice but to comment on. And that was where I really started thinking, okay, something is really kind of going on here. You know, the wheels are coming off the bus behind the scenes.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is obviously far from the first time that Kanye has acted out publicly. Do you think it was just the personal attacks that finally led to divorce this time? Or do you think there was any other factors?
I mean, with the caveat that, you know, it's always wild speculation because I have not met Kim and Kanye. They don't want to hang out with me for some reason. It's very strange.
Oh, that's weird.
Right? I do think that Kanye being mentally ill and seemingly being unwilling to treat that mental illness has got to be a pretty substantial factor, right? There can be all the love in the world and all the commitment in the world, you know, and if someone is just is sick and is not taking care of themselves, and if you have four children to raise and a pretty busy career, there just comes a point where you need to protect yourself and you need to protect your children.
Yeah.
So I think that's the human read on it. The, like, sort of, you know, Kris Jenner, like, publicity read on it is also that Kanye is just really bad for her image at this point. You know, he is just drawing all kinds of negative attention to the family, especially at a moment when Kim is like, I'm a criminal justice lawyer now.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really not working with her.
Kris is like, you are not doing amazing, sweetie. Stop.
Now, Zan, how do you feel about it? I feel like I'm still kind of processing it. They were such an iconic couple.
They were such an iconic couple. Yeah, I'm surprised, actually, by how, I mean, I'm not, like, upset about it. I think also, like, 2020 has drained my ability to be upset about anything, you know, not really horrible. But it's sad to me, especially because I love them as a couple, just in terms of like what they represent in pop culture.
Mm, yeah.
I just think they're fascinating individually. They're super fascinating together. They're so fun together. Yeah. I think what they did, culturally speaking, right? Like Kanye, this sort of like artist elevating Kim, the trashy, you know, reality star. Like, yeah. I just loved that. I loved watching it.
Yeah.
So I'm bummed out that we won't get to see them together. Although it's been pointed out on the internet that we now get like a single Kim.
Yeah.
I'm dying to see what that phase looks like. So, you know, silver lining.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we all know, this is, of course, not Kim's first divorce. We covered, you know, the 72-hour Chris Humphries marriage in episode 2. Oh, 72 days. I said
yeah, 72
hours.
Days.
Who was married? Somebody was married for such a short amount of time. Maybe it was Britney Spears.
Actually, I got to say, that marriage, she filed for divorce after 72 days, but he contested the crap out of that.
Mm.
Chris Humphries did. And they were actually married for like years because he was just fighting her like legally tooth and nail. And like, right, she was still technically married to Chris when she got pregnant with North. And anyway.
But can you tell us a little bit about her previous two marriages?
Yeah. So her first husband was a music producer. They got married pretty young, were married for several years, got divorced. Then she married Chris Humphries. You know, she's since said that she kind of knew wasn't really going to last.
Yeah. I know there's like this thing about her sisters calling her Elizabeth Taylor or yes. something. What is that about?
So in Keeping Up with the Kardashians, in the 2-hour, you know, Kim's Fairy Tale Wedding special.
Yeah.
It seems also quite evident that the family is betting that this marriage is not going to last, which is really interesting to watch. And there's footage of her sisters talking about her when she's not there. And they say basically like, you know, Kim loves Elizabeth Taylor and she thinks we call her Elizabeth Taylor because she loves diamonds. But we call her Elizabeth Taylor because there's going to be 6 divorces.
Oh, God.
And she's halfway there. So congratulations.
Right. Yeah. She's making good ground for sure.
I mean, siblings know you the best. So
true.
What I find interesting is that if you look back, she was in a totally different position during the Humphries divorce versus where she is now. I mean, the Kardashian empire wasn't even close to what it is today. How did she manage to survive the blowback over the marriage and come out even stronger?
Yeah, I mean, and I think the answer to that question actually is that she started dating Kanye West, right?
Yeah.
And this is something that I don't think anyone could have predicted, right? She had sort of like risen to fame on the back of a sex tape and a reality show. You know, she had done every appearance, every sponsorship, you know, put her name on everything that anyone had asked her to, right? Attend the opening of a letter, as the joke goes, you know, and then had this, yeah, like, oh my God, she's marrying a NBA player, NFL, I don't know, sports. He's an NBA.
Yeah, he's
they're always
NBA.
They're always NBA players.
No,
they're
NBA,
always
yeah.
NFL players. But she was dating an NFL player before that.
Right, yeah,
Reggie. So she had sort of run through the playbook for, like, you know, reality star attention grabbing, you know, what you could do on your own with that level of fame. And this is sort of my personal theory of the Kardashians is that if Kanye hadn't come along at that moment, they wouldn't be who they are today. Right? That they had sort of hit a glass ceiling, basically.
Yeah.
And then Kanye appeared, and he is someone who is an artist, who talks a lot about himself as an artist and, you know, as a genius, but who legitimately, especially at that point, you know, was really considered like an A-list star. And he did kind of like reach down and just drag Kim up off the D-list and dragged a whole family with him, you know, and was sort of like, no, these people aren't just kitschy sideshows, right? This is the culture. Like, this is going to be the main culture. Yeah. And just created, I think, a new kind of interest in her. And I think probably along with like changing discourse in our culture around powerful women and what that looks like and what that means, you know, allowed them to sort of enter the second phase where they went from being like the most famous reality star people to some of the most famous people in the world.
Right. Yeah. So you think we very easily could have never known Kylie Lipkits or KKW Beauty if the split with Chris went any different?
I think so. Yeah. There's just like a million reality stars that have their own makeup brands, you know, that are like, they're fine. They're out there. But, you know, what sets the Kardashians apart? And I really do think it is, you know, that A-list recognition that they then very smartly parlayed, you know, sort of were able to work with and say like, yeah, Kanye was right to recognize us. Like, we are pioneers in our field.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I should give them credit. They are to an extent pioneers in their field, right?
Like,
yeah, for sure.
And Kylie Lipkits were a really smart business move. And, you know, a lot of the sort of Instagram influencer brands that exist now are just attempts to replicate Kylie Lipkits.
Yeah, that's true.
So then how about now? Are the Kardashians too big to fail now, do you think? Do you think Kim will face any of the same challenges she did after the Humphries divorce?
Yeah, I don't think she's nearly in the same place, you know, with Kanye as she was with Chris. Right. There's no question. Like, that's a 7-year marriage. It's produced 4 children. You know, people were really furious after the Chris Humphries marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just like,
it's like she cheated on them or something.
Yes.
He took it so personally. Right. Not that she cheated, but. Yeah,
right. But no, but it was, I think there was a sense of like, if these people will will get married in order to get TV ratings, like, what won't they do? And there was this feeling of like, there's no there. Right. And yeah, I think actually it's kind of the opposite now. We're seeing a pretty rare glimpse into Kim Kardashian's life being really sad in a really human way and just really outside of her control, you know?
Yeah.
Now, in this series, we talked a lot about how Kim is basically just this master at branding herself. And she's made the West part of her name now. Like, her Instagram says Kim Kardashian West. She's got KKW Beauty. Mm-hmm. Is this divorce going to change what she's selling? Like, she's no longer part of this partnership. How do you think that affects her businesses?
Yeah, I'm very curious. I mentioned earlier, like, the sort of, you know, single Kim that we might get. You know, what that aesthetic is going to look like. Kanye, very famously, when they started dating, like, came and made her give away, like, 3/4 of her closet.
Yes.
It's still really sad to watch.
It is.
All those earth tones.
Right? Yeah. And so, you know, her look has been his look for most of their marriage. And so I'm genuinely very curious to see if and how her style changes. Because I think that, you know, could be sort of an interesting signal of what she's doing next. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it opens up some interesting possibilities for her. To sort of explore different creative avenues and think about her products in a different way. Because it is very, like, you know, Skims, her, like, shapewear brand is very neutral, you know, body colored. She's got the fragrances. She's got the beauty line. We'll see. But yeah, I'm very interested to see, like, so when she married Chris Humphries, a big point of contention was that she didn't want to take his name and ultimately didn't. And for the best, because she would have had to give it right back. But she says at the time, right, she's like, my part of my business is my name, right? There's a lot of questions. Right. Like, what's Kim Kardashian famous for? Part of the answer is she's famous for literally being the words Kim Kardashian. So, like, deciding to put West on there was a big move, and taking West off will be a big move. But I will also say, like, this is actually something that her mother, Kris Jenner, who is twice divorced, has had to deal with, right? So yeah, we'll see. But there's definitely precedent in the family for, like, keeping your married name and building an empire on it. So I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, to be fair, West rolls off the tongue way better than Humphries. So
KKH.
Chloe's nickname for Chris Humphries is Hump. Which
I mean, do you think maybe she'll keep the West?
I wouldn't be surprised. Especially also her kids have that name.
Right.
I could really see it going either way. No, I don't know.
Well, if she takes it off her Instagram, we'll know in seconds, I'm sure.
It'll oh my God.
Big news.
I mean, she's had to change names before in terms of, like, Skims. She had to change to Skims. So it's not like she's averse to changing things.
True.
That's right. I forgot about, what is it called? Kimono?
Kimono.
Just, this is always my, like, I think the real thing of being, like, a quote unquote Kardashian expert is that, like, even though this is something that I pay a lot of attention to and, like, spend a lot of time on, I forget whole controversies. Like, oh, yeah.
I know.
Oh,
well, there's so many. I mean.
Exactly. But this is what I'm saying. Like, even as someone who is professionally obligated to know this stuff, it just literally, there's not room in my brain. I can name all the kids and all their kids. I can't name all their scandals.
That alone is a lot.
Yeah. It's impressive.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank?
Literally always.
Okay. Well, the new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look, and it comes in luxe gold packaging. It feels incredibly high-end, but it is a lot more affordable.
Oh, yeah. The Panorama Mascara lives up to its name by giving your lashes panoramic volume and a fully fanned-out look. Its tapered mascara wand catches every single lash, including those hard-to-reach corner lashes. When I do wear makeup, I do the bare minimum, and that's usually eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss. And so mascara has to really pop.
Yes.
And let me tell you, L'Oreal, this baby pops.
Yeah. I do love the packaging. Like, I'm all about that.
So if you're looking for an affordable mascara that gives you voluminous, lengthened lashes, you can buy the Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
So as a listener of Even the Rich, you know that audio piques the imagination, which is why we're so excited for Audible's new collection of exclusive thrillers. They feature captivating sound design, eerie soundscapes, and dynamic performances that really bring the story to life.
Oh, yeah. The next listen on my list is the psychological thriller, The Silent Patient.
Ooh.
So it's all about a therapist who tries to unravel the mystery of a woman who refuses to talk or give any explanation as to why she shot her husband. I mean, it's going to be the perfect binge listen. And you know, I love my thrillers.
I can agree. And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
Yeah. New members can try Audible now free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500.
That's audible.com/eventherich or text Even the Rich to 500-500 to get started.
So Kim is obviously in a very new place right now. She's getting a divorce. Keeping Up with the Kardashians is ending after this next season. What do you think we can expect from Kim and the rest of the family in the future?
This is my favorite. They're like, we're ending Keeping Up with the Kardashians. End of an era. We signed a contract with Hulu. Beginning of an era.
Right. They don't waste time, that's for sure.
They do not. And, you know, I guess I respect the hustle. You know, I think there's a good amount of real sympathy for Kim and what she's going through. And there are, of course, also people who are kind of like, oh, well, like the reason that she waited to file for divorce is because they wanted to film all of this for the last season of Keeping Up to get people to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, she like signed this Hulu contract so that we'll have to watch her being single. You know, people still are quite suspicious of her and her motives.
Right.
Pretty much no matter what she does. But I don't know that it's been reported that Kim specifically signed on to do the Hulu show. One of the first times she really talked about the criminal justice stuff she's been pursuing. In a Vogue interview, I believe, she did say, you know, I might sort of get into my 40s and decide to like leave, quote unquote, being Kim K behind. Mm-hmm. And I think if she wasn't motivated to do that previously, it's very possible that she is even more motivated to do it now, right? I may be very wrong about this, and it may be that like single Kim Kardashian is just everywhere and, you know, it's a renaissance and who knows. But I can kind of imagine her being like, yeah, you know, I actually do want to, you know, pursue criminal justice and I want to be an advocate. I don't want to be a celebrity in this way.
Yeah.
A, because it's interesting to her, and B, because it keeps her family a little less in the spotlight as she is dealing with, you know, the ongoing issue of like them getting divorced is not going to solve Kanye's mental health issues.
Right.
And the more they're in the spotlight, the more she's going to have to like talk about that or be asked to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And the less she is, the more she gets to just kind of like keep that private. So
yeah,
we'll see.
For sure. Right.
There's no question that like the bulk of the Kardashian clan is going to keep doing what they've been doing, right? Mm-hmm, there'll be some form of reality show. There'll be constant social media presence. There will be all of their brands and, you know, selling jeans and makeup and socks, I guess.
Yes.
Never forget. That's
seriously.
I've been rewatching Keeping Up. And just like
poor Rob.
Watching Rob talk about starting his sock brand. It's just like hard to take seriously.
He's anyway. Passionate about socks, guys.
Yeah, right. He's like, I'm a fashion entrepreneur.
Oh, man.
Oh, Rob.
So yeah, I think the Kardashian show sort of writ large, I think is going to continue on in the way that we've seen it. There's just so many of them at this point, and there's enough sort of desire there.
Yeah. So, I mean, in our series, we mainly just focused on Kris, Kim, and Kylie. But what do you think the show has been like for the other members of the family who possibly don't want to live their lives on screen?
Yeah, this is like where I get really sad talking about the Kardashians. Because, yeah, I mean, Kendall and Kylie, you know, they're like 10 and 11 when Keeping Up with the Kardashians start shooting.
Yeah.
You know, have to grow up in this just unbelievably intense spotlight. You know, watching Life of Kylie, which aired a couple of years ago, she seems to have like just extremely conflicted relationship to her own celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
And I do think in part also like it's a family business. And so there's some sense that like if you pull away, you know, you're abandoning the family, you're making the brand less sellable. You know, part of the brand is like, no, we all love this and we all want to do it, which also like just sort of elides the fact of Rob, who for whom this has clearly been, you know, kind of life ruining.
Yeah.
There has been speculation that Kourtney is pretty over the sort of reality show part of it, though.
Yeah.
And she is kind of like, look, I have my blog now. I have my brand. Poosh. Is successful somehow. And right, and she's like, you know, I have a bunch of kids to look after and I want to live my life, right? That she's over it. She's like, I have enough money and I have enough clout. Thank you.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Kylie has talked more about being uncomfortable in the Kardashian family spotlight. Kendall, I think, by withdrawing herself from it has sort of demonstrated discomfort. Mm-hmm. But they're all to a certain extent bought in, right? They all still appear on the show. They do the thing, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't see that changing, right? I think as long as there's a Kardashian show, all of these people will come and go from it.
Yeah.
But then there's also, and this is the really crazy thing that I realized doing this rewatch of the show that I'm doing right now, you know, Kendall and Kylie were 10, but Mason, Courtney's son, was literally born on camera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She pulled him right out.
She pulled him right out. You know, so I think that's the second generation is kind of the one to watch for me. I think I'm quite curious to see when the kids sort of start coming of age. And you know, Mason is now 10 years old. And so he's doing like confessionals on Keeping Up. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned Mason having his, starting to have his talking head interviews. And I'm wondering if we've heard anything about how he and the younger kids are feeling about this inherited fame. I mean, like you said, he was literally born on the Kardashians and has grown up, has spent his whole life being on the Kardashians.
Yeah. Not yet so much. Mason, I think, did like an Instagram maybe or like a Snapchat. He had some social media and he was like answering questions. And someone like asked him about Kylie and Travis. And he's like, oh, yeah, like they're together or, you know, they're on and off or something. And then I think it got shut down after that.
Kris Jenner in a control room being like, nope, shut it down, shut it down.
The kids are still young enough because Mason is the oldest and he's only 10, mm-hmm. right? So they don't have their own social media platforms yet. They're not like doing press yet. But I do think in the next like 5 years or so, mm-hmm. whenever they start being able to do, you know, having their own social media and being able to sort of like speak for themselves in public, I think we're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah.
You know, who says what at what points? Because I do think those kids are maybe going to at some point be like, excuse me?
Yeah.
And has there been, do you think, or do you know any kind of blowback within the family of you're in this, this is the mob, you can never leave. And if you do leave, that's it.
There definitely are. There are more and less explicit conversations around people's sort of discomfort at various times with doing what they're doing. What actually really is fascinating to me is the moments when I would be having the conversation of like, why am I doing this to myself? And they're not. Mm-hmm. So like there's an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians where Kim is anxious about like driving, kind of. Mm. To be fair, I think it's like the paparazzi, you know, she's anxious, whatever. But Kendall is having like panic attacks and particularly around travel and around flying, which her job as a supermodel requires her to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at no point does her mother say, sweetheart, perhaps you should travel less.
I know.
Right? Like, it seems like your job is causing you to have like anxiety symptoms that are not normal and not healthy. You know, maybe you should do something else. It's just not a conversation. And that to me is the most striking thing is like that it's such a foregone conclusion, certainly publicly, that they can't even talk about like, is this lifestyle making us sick? And could we do something else? Because that's the real thing. I'm like, y'all do not need more money.
Right. Seriously.
I always think of Breaking Bad when, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a scene where like they have this like storage unit of money and she's like, when is it enough? And it's like, Kardashians, when is it enough?
Right.
Oh my God. I have not seen Breaking Bad, but I got to say that. I know. If I wanted to see it, I would have by now. This is, I think you can tell a lot about me, like personality Rorschach test. I'm like, I've seen 20 seasons of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, not an episode of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, seriously.
That's fair. That's fair.
Well, I mean, there was even in the recent season, the episode where Kylie has strep and Kris is like calling other members of the family. Is like, I'll give you $250,000 to like do. I'm like, what? Like, my God.
Right?
Yeah.
This is so interesting to me. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this. What is the motivation to at that point to work as much as they do and to like put as much of themselves out there as they do? Like, I would just be like, I'm done.
Oh,
I've had
God.
Enough of this.
I can't imagine. I get one mean tweet and my week is ruined. It's like, oh, how are they doing this?
Crazy. Right? And I do think that part of the answer is that they just like don't ever seriously consider, you know, if you open the door to think about what your life might be like any other way, it's like it's too big of a change.
That's true. Yeah.
And also, I do think that there's something to be said for the way that you know, they have a frankly indefensible amount of wealth, right? When you look at just like, and not, you know, not just them, there's many, many people who are in this situation, but they have an indefensible amount of money. But if they're always working, then that's their defense for it, right? It's like, well, no, I work hard, so I deserve to, like, you know, hoard money that could change the world. And if they stopped working, then they would just be, they'd have to admit they were just very rich people like everyone, you know, like, not like everyone else, but like other very rich people who don't quote unquote deserve it, as if anyone deserved that much money.
Right, exactly.
I mean, when a 1 year old gets a purse that's more than 3 months of my rent, it's just.
Well, you know, North is a famous painter now. So.
And she painted that painting herself, and she deserves all of the recognition she's getting.
I mean, if I had a world-class painter teaching me how to paint, I'd paint a great thing, too. That's my theory on that.
Yeah, for sure. That's true.
I mean, yeah, whatever. Some days I'm like, I love talking about the Kardashians. It's so low stakes. Some days I'm like, I can't talk about this. This is so low stakes.
I know.
Yeah. Life is busier than ever. It might be harder to find time these days to grocery shop, prep, and cook healthy and hearty meals. I get it, but Factor's got you covered.
Yeah, so Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, delivered right to your door, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Exactly. And Factor is tailored to your schedule. You can customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. If you're traveling or still finishing up last week's meals, you can always pause or reschedule deliveries.
I mean, I know I've talked before about how much I love Factor because it's just so easy.
And it doesn't taste like, you know, the microwavable meals you see, especially in rom-coms when we're trying to heighten and highlight how sad and pathetic this woman's life is.
Yeah.
They don't taste like that. They taste so good as if you made them yourself or hired a chef. Head to factormeals.com/rich50 and use code rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box. That's code rich50 at factormeals.com/rich50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We all face stress in our daily lives. What if the answer to a better stress response is in one key nutrient? I'm talking about magnesium, and specifically Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could have a positive effect on our stress response. But don't take my word for it. Here's a quote from a 2020 issue of the scientific journal Nutrients. Results suggest that stress could increase magnesium loss, causing a deficiency. And in turn, magnesium deficiency could enhance the body's susceptibility to stress, resulting in a magnesium and stress vicious circle. I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. It's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress resilience and better sleep. Simply go to bioptimizers.com/ifstories. Promo code IFSTORIES10 to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. That's bioptimizers.com/IFSTORIES. Promo code IFSTORIES10.
So, Zan, with the show ending this year, do you think any members of the family might just step away from the cameras forever? Or do you think the Kardashians will just always be the Kardashians, no matter what they do?
Yeah, I think Kourtney is a pretty good candidate for stepping out of the spotlight entirely. Mm-hmm. I mean, not entirely, because, you know, I think as long as the family is famous, there'll still be paparazzi on her. You know, she's still dating Travis Barker, who's launching like a wellness line. Right. She'll still have Poosh. Like, she's not going to step out of the spotlight. She might step out of the sort of like hyper panopticon 24/7 thing that the rest of the Kardashians do. You know, Rob's been out, and I hope that he stays out and gets the help that he needs.
Me too.
And I'm just trying, like, going down the list. This is right. Kourtney potentially out. Kim potentially out. You know, I could see Kim, again, not stepping out of the spotlight entirely, but, you know, yeah, really transitioning into activist work and sort of trying to sort of change the nature of her celebrity. Chloe, who knows what Chloe's doing? Chloe, do not marry that man.
Oh my God, seriously.
Jesus Christ. But I think Chloe, I don't love where Chloe is for her, but she seems fine where she is.
Yeah.
Kendall, I think, is going to keep modeling. You know, Kendall is sort of the opposite of Rob, I think, in some ways, like where she has really, you know, I think is quite clearly uncomfortable with a lot of the way the family conducts its business and doesn't want to do it and has just carved herself out. you know, this little particular niche in the middle of it, mm-hmm. where she just has sort of a slightly different brand than they do and a different way of interacting. And that seems to work for her. So I imagine Kendall stays modeling and also like having a toothbrush brand. And I think Kylie's a bit of a wild card. I kind of wouldn't be surprised if at some point Kylie like just does go full hermit.
Yeah. I mean, if she can hide her pregnancy, like truly, basically, that I was just blown away by that. So
Girl
can do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that was so crazy. And just as like the month sort of went on, it was sort of like, oh, no one's seen her. And then it was like, no one's seen her.
In
about 9 months. So I think this is about to happen. But I will say, I think Kris Jenner will stay in the spotlight as long as it will have her. I think she truly loves it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens with the younger kids. But I think also, you know, part of the thing of the Kardashians is there's just so many of them that even if half the family takes a step back, right?
Yeah.
There's so many of them. There's so much. I mean, Scott Disick at this point is just a reliable tabloid fixture.
Yes.
You know, whatever Kanye does will for a while keep Kim's name in the news. Mm-hmm. There's just no way, I don't think, at this point that they ever go away.
Yeah.
Certainly not in, you know, this generation or the next, you know, I don't know, 100 years. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
But I think that like America's royal family, you know, comparison, certainly in terms of just generational fascination with these people, I think that's pretty accurate. Like, I do think that they're here to stay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed.
Well, thank you so much for being here.
This was really fun. Thank you.
Oh my God. Thank you guys. Those were excellent questions. I hope that I answered them with some modicum of.
You did.
Thanks again to Zan Romanoff. I think I'm going to have to call her just to recap every episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians this season.
I know. God, she knows so much.
It's been a lot of fun talking about one of the most famous families in America today. But next week, we're going to tell you the story of one of the first families to ever use television to invite the public into their living room.
Oh, the Osbournes? Oh, wait, no, the Simpsons.
No, think even more Hairspray. And more Pearls and Chanel. We're finally doing JFK and Jackie. And it's even juicier than you think. We've got million-dollar bribes, fake family trees, the world's saddest kiss, and more glamour than you can shake a Chanel hat at.
Oh, I seriously can't wait. People need it. Now, if you like our show, please give us a 5-star rating and a review, and be sure to tell your friends.
I'm Arisha Skidmore-Williams.
And I'm Brooke Ziffrin. This episode was produced by Caitlin Plummer. Our producer is Natalie Shisha. Our associate producer is Kate Young. Our audio engineer is Sergio Enriquez. Our executive producers are Stephanie Jens, Jenny Lauer-Beckman, and Marshall Louie for Wondery.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.